This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Yeah.
We got them screaming D-Lo, KC. Number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spot.
Talk to me, baby. Hey! One more time for Domas. Y'all know what it is. Come on, man, we celebrating victories. And if Young Zell ain't gonna bring us that remix that he promised us, yeah, we just gonna bring you the original.
Wait a minute!
They do not know what Sacktown brings. When on the low, that's a Sacktown thing. Talking about us, it's a bounce out thing. Must they forgot we some Sacramento Kings. Whole squad going crazy, yeah, we back with it. Northern Cali going crazy, one sack winning. If you doubted us, then ain't no backspinning. This is real right here, ain't no catfishing. So tell me what you see now.
See now.
Coming down the lane off the rebound.
Rebound.
It's 9-16 now. Look toward the sky like the beam now. Tell them like the beam.
Hey.
Like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now.
You get a 1-point win in Miami. That don't happen often. We're going verse two. Come on, Zell.
That crowd, make sure everyone knows. Let me tell you how this thing really goes. Yeah, we travel deep, whether we home or on the road, we lit. You don't want that smoke, we the team of the year. We shaking things over here, don't doubt, we believe over here. We don't bleed over here, and let me just speak real clear. Only deal with real kings over here, so tell me what you see now. Coming down the lane off the rebound. It's 9-16 now. Look toward the sky like the beam now.
Hey.
Tell them like the beam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Come on, man.
I like that. Man, yeah. Let's get into it. It is Tuesday. It is Election Day. It is November 5th. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are in here, baby. We appreciate you so much for being with us. What a night it was in South Beach last night. It doesn't happen too often, but the Sacramento Kings got a victory in Miami.
Ooh, I like that. Like I said, we don't get to hear it too often. We don't get to say those words too often. I like that.
I believe, what did you, the sixth win in 37 tries.
Come on, man.
That's how...
Come on, man.
So when we say infrequently, Lord, do we mean it?
Oh,
doesn't
man.
Happen hey, often.
And what a thrill, what a way to get that victory last night. That was a hell of a game. And yes, I'm way more excited because Sabonis was able to hit that shot than I would be if it would have ended with De'Aaron Fox's missed jump shot. Yeah, yeah, we won. Yeah. So it's all good. Yeah, it's right. All good. Yes. What a finish. What a finish.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Domantas Sabonis sends the Kings home with a 3-1 road trip. Mm. 111-110. Domas is, as the kids say, a dog.
Mm.
That man battled through three members of the Miami Heat to get that rebound and just kind of, what do you call that? He didn't shoot it. It wasn't really a putback.
A little pushback, a little push shot. He got the ball.
A little footback. Is that a thing?
I give it a shot. It was a shot.
It was a shot.
It was a little one-legged shot.
Little pop.
Yeah.
Little popping shot right there.
Was that like the Rashawn Holmes shot he used to do or whatever?
A little bit. Although he's fading back. Rashawn would always go front. The push shot was deadly.
That was a moment.
It was. But that was
okay.
Oh man,
settle down in there.
What?
Hey, they gave him a contract. Let's not act like it was a moment. They gave him a deal.
It was. I just felt like a little smart ass remark.
It's a good thing.
Okay. All right. If it's a good thing, all right, we'll go with that. Shout out to our man Rashawn. What a finish to that game. That third quarter was a game changer. That fourth quarter was all over the place.
Man.
And oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start with this. I feel like you start in the third quarter. First of all, it wasn't, because they were down double digits. They had to fight back. They clawed back. They used that third quarter to get back in it. I guess it's a game of resilience, right? Like, we thought the game started really well as you and I were watching it together. It's like, all right, they're fighting. Oh, look, Domas is bleeding because he's getting punched in the face. That's on par with what happens. But the Heat have a big third quarter, and it's like, all right, a big second quarter. Mm-hmm. All right, it feels like this game is shifting a little bit, and I don't know, you got the dangers of the last game of a road trip, then you got the first game after a long road trip, and you've got how many games under 500 are the Kings going to be by the time the Clippers get here? And they wind up opening that third quarter. I mean, a 37-17 run. De'Aaron Fox went nuts in the third quarter.
Did he ever?
And I don't know if you heard DeMar tell the G-Man, thanks to the Do Some More podcast for airing this clip, that they got into it a little bit at halftime. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that means, but do it again. Because I feel like someone pissed off De'Aaron Fox, and he walked out there like, okay, I got you. 16 points in the third. Just a monster third quarter from De'Aaron, and a monster third quarter from the Sacramento Kings. Again, 37-17, 68% from the field, 57% from three in that third quarter.
Man, that was such a great response to what I thought was a disastrous into the second quarter, i.e. the first half. It was 49-47 Miami with 220 to go, I think. Well, yeah, my notes say 220 to go. 49-47. They end that half down 61-48. Just a disastrous end. And it was looking bleak. And I ain't talking Memphis in that third quarter. It was kind of more of the same, but De'Aaron Fox, like you said, whatever happened in that locker room with De'Aaron Fox and that team as a whole changed everything. Changed that entire game. Got us to the point where we could have a heroic moment by Domantas Sabonis, because you could see it on the screen. You're watching it. The energy shifted in that third quarter on both ends of the floor for the Sacramento Kings.
49ers too. They was hyped. They was hyped. I heard.
they got more physical. They got more intense with what they were doing on the defensive end. Mm-mm. They got a little bit more authoritative with what they were doing on the offensive end. De'Aaron Fox attacking the basket and everything. And they were down 9 in that. I think that were they down 13? No, they were down 13 or 15 in that third quarter. Ended up being up 9
yeah.
in the third quarter. And it was visible. To me, it was visible. The way they just kind of shifted that energy and turned things up a notch in that game.
And those, what's funny about that is those were the two biggest leads for each team, and they both happened in the third quarter.
That's crazy.
The 15-point lead for the Heat and the 9-point lead for the Kings happened in that third quarter.
Man, I love that third quarter. And, you know, you'll hear this a little later on Locked On. I was with our guy, Matt George, for Locked On. It'll come out today. But we kind of talked about – I'm not ready to say that this is – what they do just yet, but I would say, don't they play 7 games? It feels like in 6 of them, the third quarter, they come out cooking. The only one they didn't is that Toronto game, because Vince Carter is still talking, and they haven't even come out for the third quarter
yet. Is the jersey up yet or no? Not yet?
Not yet. They haven't even come out to start the second half yet. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at. The Kings have played another game and haven't finished that game yet because they haven't got out of halftime. But outside of that,
the Raptors have actually unretired Vince Carter's jersey because he refuses to stop talking.
Outside of that third quarter, it feels like every game this year, they've turned it up in the third quarter. And that's such a contrast to what we have known from these Kings, at least since we've started this show, right? Like, the third quarter was always dreaded around these parts. Mm-hmm. But they've totally flipped that. And now, like I said, I'm not going to call them a third quarter team yet. I want to see more. I want to see it a little bit more and more consistently to label that this is what they do. But I got my eye on the situation for sure.
We're going to talk a lot about this game. I want to take a moment. I didn't write this into the show, so forgive me, but I'm sure you're well aware of what's coming. We lost a member of the Chatty House recently. Our man Rory. Man, it feels like Rory has been a part of this show forever. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Drew, the local guy, he sent me a message last night. It was like, hey, I don't know if you're aware of this. I just found out. And he sent me the obituary that Rory had passed away. And that's, wait a minute, is that our Rory? And then I start running through the show. Rory out in the Philippines. I was like, we always mention Rory because he always has something to say. I was like, did we mention him yet? And you start running through the days, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, I don't remember seeing him. Yeah. And then, you know, reading about his passing, and then, you know, learning a few details today, man. Rory, I mean, it's brutal to lose a member of our community, man. But he was not only with the Chatty House on D'Lo and KC, he was with the Chatty House on the Insiders. He used to get under James' skin quite a bit, which, you know, anytime you can get under James's skin, that's a win. Yeah. So, just devastated to learn about the loss of our guy, Rory.
Yeah, that was tough to hear, man. I think the last time we heard from Rory.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was just regular basketball talk. It was solid regular him getting under James' skin. It was regular. It was one of the days you were out sick, because I remember coming on that side to start the show. And
Rory would appreciate that.
Coming over on that side to start the show, and we were just talking about Rory. And, I mean, what was that, like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
You know, it was a little longer, but yeah.
Yeah, man, and the, now, you know, he's gone, man. He always showed the show love, always showed us love, man, and just good dude from everything that we experienced from him, man. So that's terrible to see, man. Pray for his family and his friends for sure.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to Rory's family. Brother, we appreciate you. And we'll do what you love, man. We'll talk Kings basketball.
Yeah.
And we'll do that. We do the one Casey return here on ESPN 1320. I mentioned this a moment ago. Will Z will be with us coming up in about 30 minutes-ish. There's a good chance the next mayor of Sacramento is going to step in here in a couple of minutes.
What a historic night this could be in this city.
I hope it is, man. Dr. Flo, who has been with us.
In Sacramento.
Oh, man. I have a question I am dying to ask Dr. Flo.
Oh, yeah?
I feel like I've been, I don't want to say locked in, but I do read the booklet that comes because I understand how confusing the ballots can be, and I'm fearful sometimes that, you know, some people just go in and they fill in the circle, or maybe they just vote along, you know, party lines or whatever, and they don't. It's hard to understand. I mean, we all remember the disaster sports gambling ballot of 2022 or whatever it was.
That. Jeez.
There was one particular prop I didn't pay attention to until this morning. And I need to ask Dr. Flo a very direct question when she comes in here.
Okay.
Because I think this should be discussed. Not as, in a political form, just in a societal form. Okay. We need to have a conversation about what I think that prop said. So Dr. Flo will make her way in here. It's been fun watching Dr. Flo through the primaries and headed into this. I couldn't believe, because we had an open invitation for her to come in. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe when she texted me over the weekend, was like, hey, I forgot to send you a text about like a date in October. Is it cool if I come in like Monday or Tuesday? And I was like, really? You don't have anything else to do except hang out with D-Lo and KC? Okay. Pull up on us.
Man, to see the, like you mentioned, very potentially the next mayor of Sacramento, for her to start as, you know, just a regular person that had a hope and a dream, but it was cute. You know what I mean? It's cute that you're running and all this other stuff, to working her way to the point where it actually, that is amazing to see. That is a true potential success story. Even if it doesn't, it's still a success story. Mm-hmm. Like what the awareness and the things that she's already been able to do, regardless of the outcome, is a true success story. And it's inspirational.
They didn't predict her to get out of the runoff. I should say they didn't predict her to get into the runoff. They didn't predict her to come out of that original ballot. And here she is. It's because what she's saying is resonating with people. So we'll talk to her, and of course we'll ask her about her Sacramento Kings, who she gave up tickets, season tickets for,
gave them to me
exactly 2 years ago. Whoops.
She could have just gave them to me. I'm always going to make sure she remembered. You could have just gave them to me.
Well, you don't really give season tickets to somebody.
I'll take over.
Well, you're rich like that.
Well, not rich.
Wealthy.
Neither.
Okay. We mentioned this a minute ago. Like the game, like, gave you a 3-1 road trip. It doesn't really matter. But this game is just full of runs. Mm-hmm. Like, the Kings season is full of some good, some bad. Mm-hmm. But we noted, as you were breaking down the third quarter, the two biggest leads in the game for each team were in that third quarter alone. Mm-hmm. The now, in fairness, the Heat had built up most of that lead in the first half. Mm-hmm. And I think they got the first basket out of halftime. And then the Kings made their run. De'Aaron Fox made their run. DeMar DeRozan was a big... Oh, man. That DeMar DeRozan and 1-3 in the fourth quarter.
Oh, man.
There were 2 points when I thought the game was over. And I think Terry Rozier was responsible for both of them.
Well, yeah, well, put me in for three.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy Which one? Butler hit a three.
Oh, Jimmy. I said, wait a minute. Yeah.
I said, wait a minute. But Turnabout is fair play, because I'm sure Heat fans are like, DeRozan hit a three? So, what Shaq said, one lucky shot deserves another.
That is what he said. Good memory. Good memory.
But yeah, no, about three times. But yeah, Terry Rozier, man. Yeah. That three was tough.
He had a couple. He had one in the third quarter when the Kings were making the run, mm-hmm. and it looked like Miami was – they had nothing. Mm-hmm. He hit a three that – this was the third, where I was like, oh, that might have been it. Mm-hmm. Like, that might – like, that – like, because it was, I think it took it back to a 10-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
And it, or it, 10 or 11.
I remember the sequence.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man. They had just gotten going, got their legs cut a little bit. Hey!
Oh, let's go!
Got their legs cut a little bit, and then it was like, all right, that didn't work. Obviously, we're reacting because the next mayor of Sacramento is in here. Hey!
What's up, buddy?
Let's go!
You know the drill. Pull up over there. I'll pull the camera up, man, and we'll talk a little bit. We're talking about the Sacramento Kings. Obviously, they got a win in Miami yesterday. You very famously gave up your season tickets for them.
But that's literally right. Could have just handed them over to me. I would have took them over. I don't know why we had to give them back into the atmosphere.
We talked about this. It's like the person who heard the concept for the internet and was like, that'll never take off, and quit their job, right? It's like, I can admit, I got that one wrong, y'all.
We need to get them back. That's what we need to do. We need to get them back.
I'm going to the game on November 25th. I still have friends who have tickets who aren't able to go all the games. So, I don't know if getting them back is the right move now, especially because I'm hoping to have a job that's going to take up a lot of my
evenings. Yeah, be a little
evenings.
Busy.
Well,
yeah,
I was going to ask, does being
Does
being mayor help in this process? Like, do you really need season tickets if you're the mayor of Sacramento?
I mean,
the job has to have some perks.
Yeah, you go to the Kings game. Face card.
I know the city like has seats, but you know the ethical people tend to give those seats away.
Ethical. That's adorable.
And, you know, people who should have an opportunity to go to an arena that is funded by a $255 million public subsidy. Mm-hmm. So I stand by that. Right.
Not that anyone's counting.
And, you know, and I do feel like, you know, we are compensated substantially enough to be able to afford to buy a ticket my plan is to, you know, go in with some friends on a partial season ticket package where we can be flexible in case something comes up, but I can, you know, go to some games and enjoy
Kenny is compensated too, and they still give him tickets.
Well, I was about to say,
Kenny doesn't exist
need a second
under
job if you want to get some season
and other rules about, you know, all of this. So it's a little
different. You might need a second job if you want to get some season tickets for these Kings games.
Well,
it's crazy out here, boy.
I have two questions.
Sure.
One is a little more tongue-in-cheek. The other one's very serious.
I was listening on the way in to the show. So I was like, oh, because I try to catch y'all where I can. I'm not usually listening live.
That's all
right. So that's why I was like, what time is the show actually on? Because I'm always watching.
She has no idea. She was like, yeah, it starts at three, right?
No,
baby, nope.
I was like, call yourself the Hulu generation without calling yourself the Hulu generation. I have no clue what day of the week Abbott Elementary comes on. Like, no.
I don't either.
It just shows
either.
Up on my Hulu,
Tuesdays.
And I watch it. I don't know.
Maybe
so
Wednesday,
I was like, the show's at three, right? And you were like, Flo.
No. Dr. Flo was like, can I come on your guys' podcast?
Yeah.
That's what everybody said.
So you don't have anything better to do today than be with us? I mean, we're flattered.
Y'all are amazing.
We are.
Why wouldn't I want to?
Go ahead. Keep talking. Go ahead.
Yeah,
no,
right.
No. Keep doing what you're doing. Go ahead.
I have fun coming out here. I got to tell you. So I reached out to Damian. I was like, hey, I'd love to come on the show, you know, before the election. And Damian's like, cool. Let me know when. And then I typed up this whole nice response that I never actually hit send on. And so then I came back and I was like, man, I hope. And I was like, oh, that's on me. Like, I was like, I didn't say. Because I was like, yeah, what about October 29th? Never hit send.
Oh, mm-hmm. It'd be like that.
So sometimes. Those phantom texts. Yeah. But I heard you have a question about a prop.
I do.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm going to ask this.
Okay.
Did I understand this correctly? Is slavery on the ballot?
Slavery is on the ballot. Yes. Yes. That is Proposition 6. Slavery is on the ballot. We, in the year of our Lord, 2024, have the chance to abolish slavery, finally, in the state of
Juneteenth
California.
Was a fraud.
No, look.
No, Juneteenth.
No, it's crazy how that's worded, too. It's crazy. I read that last night. I said, wait a minute.
No.
I just dismissed. I said, nah, it ain't. Ain't that.
No, I was willing to be the one to ask the question like a jackass and Dr. Flo to go, no, idiot, this is what it means.
No.
And I read that over and over and over again, and I'm like, I swear to God, this is slavery.
Yes.
There is a slavery prop that on the ballot right now.
Yes.
That is crazy.
And so for all those people asking themselves in history, where would you be on, like, you have an ability by 8 o'clock today to go slavery, yay or nay?
Well, I voted in Placer County, so I know what direction that went.
It's about time.
I don't know if I'm allowed. I mean,
nope. Leave it alone.
Okay.
Don't
say,
leave
like,
it alone.
I was like, I
leave
feel like alone. I'm supposed to say no Placer County slander should be allowed here.
We'll do the comments.
Well, it was awfully pale at the office I was at. I was looking around like, just anyone. No. Hey. See you. Okay. How is that still a thing? Like, how is that? Like,
so thankfully, that was actually part of our reparations package. So just to give everybody a little bit of history, because this is kind of a deep cut. In the state of California several years ago, a commission was put together to be able to come up with recommendations for reparations. Mm-hmm. And so a bunch of people across the state put that together. It's a beautiful, it's actually a beautiful set of recommendations and documented history and why this is important in California. That was, an official slave state, but all of the things that happened as a result, in California, that there's still, the taking of land, all these things. It's really beautiful. And I'm in the process of trying to read through it. I balance reading Project 2025 with reading the reparations. It's like,
oh my God.
Yeah. Cause I'm trying to stay informed on them. And there's actually a group that's like reading it on YouTube, I think it is. And so if you don't have time to like sit down and read it, you can kind of listen to them read it and talk about it. But they came up with these recommendations. And so in California, we have the California Legislative Black Caucus, and that's composed of the members of the legislature who are Black. And so they decided to come together and put together a reparations package. And so included in that reparations package was Proposition 6, which was abolishing slavery in the state of California. And really excited to be able to vote yes on it.
I can't believe you just said that with a straight face.
I know. It's messed up in so many ways, but we also live in a country that hasn't formally, apologized and said this was wrong and a debt is owed. And I mean, even just saying it is a healing. Like, you can't, the first step in AA, mm-hmm. right, is admitting mm-hmm. you have a problem. Like, mm-hmm. you can't move forward until you say, my bad, right? Like, this shouldn't have happened. Yeah. And so it's really important that we have these, these proposals moving forward for how we're going to do this and how we're going to actually atone for things. Some things, mm-hmm. You need an apology and some atonement for. And this is certainly one of them. It's a major sin of our country and something that we should do right by.
I think about this on a grander scale. Mm-hmm. And now I have somebody here right with me. I can think about this face to face. You woke up this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the brink of history. History. you woke up and you're like, oh, today's the day. Like, what was it when you woke up this morning and you said, today I can make history potentially?
Yeah, it's a really strange feeling, to be in a space where I feel like I am the second or third generation of people here in terms of a movement to be more inclusive, to have a more participatory democracy. Mm-hmm. Because, if we win this election, I'm not the first woman to be elected mayor in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I'm not the second woman to be elected mayor. I actually would be the fourth woman to serve as mayor and the third to be elected mayor. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the first Black mayor. right? Mm-hmm. But I am the first Black woman to ever run or occupy this you know this seat, and so that's unique, and that is groundbreaking. I am you know a candidate that doesn't take corporate money, right? And so that is unique. And we have run a people powered campaign across the city in ways that people didn't think was possible. And so I woke up this morning feeling very thankful for the community that's been built here and for all of the people who along the way have laid groundwork. There's a poem that I've been reading a lot during this campaign, and it has a line in it that says, "We drink deeply from wells we did not dig." And that really stands out to me because I am drinking every day from wells I didn't dig, from wells that were dug by other people who exist right now in our region, by wells that were dug by the Black women who served on city council, none of whom are still alive. You know, it's not lost on me that when I started this journey on April 19th of 2023, Callie Carney, the first Black woman to serve on city council, and Lauren Hammond, the first elected Black woman to serve on council, were both still alive. And Callie died in about a year ago. Actually, I think it was November 4th of last year, and then Lauren died in January of this year. So, you know, all of these people fought battles and had scars that I may not have seen and did not know. All of these people had to come up against how far to push people in their conception of what's possible and how much to toe the party line, right? And it's something that I'm asking myself every day. How far can I go? How big can the earrings go? How much of myself do I get to be before people go, that's too much, right? And so, yeah, there's history being made, and every day we have to think about what are the boundaries that we're pushing for, and that's something that is not lost on me.
Has this campaign gone the way you expected?
Yes and no. I mean, I think every strength you have also has a downside, and in strength finders they talk about it as balconies and basements, right? So if you're an activator, you get things done, but you also can be impulsive, right? Mm-hmm. That's the balcony is you get things done, the basement is sometimes you move, you know, you ready, shoot, aim, right? Mm-hmm. And so every strength has, you know, every asset that you have also has a downside. And for me, I'm not a person who spends, I think a lot about vision and what we can be, but then I also kind of then zoom into the ground level and I'm like, what do we need to do next? Yeah. So I don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about how many things could go wrong. I'm kind of like that little cartoon character walking down the street, blissfully unaware of all of the like mayhem that they barely missed, right? I'm just like, it's like the piano falls and the light, right? And I'm like, ah! So there's a way that that's really helpful. And also, I know that there are lots of people in this town who have fought battles on my behalf that I didn't see and that I'm blissfully unaware of. So I would say that this went the way I imagined, in terms of I have immense faith in people. And that when you're honest and transparent with people, when you engage them and listen to them and give people real opportunities to be a part of something, that people will show up. And so that is exactly what I expected. It also didn't go the way I expected in terms of I didn't realize how many people and just how desperate people were for something different and how willing people were going to be to go up against sort of, you know, the status quo. I knew that there was going to be vitriol. I didn't imagine the strength of the vitriol. Like the day that, you know, this independent expenditure, which is the dark money in politics, started sending out mailers about me with my face on them, I was just like, I called my mom and I was like, so I have to like do another system update of myself, because today someone spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to mail my face and name to people and to say things about me. And many of those things are untrue, but just the notion that somebody would spend their probably hard-earned or maybe not so hard-earned money right to give a message about me. I'm not that 17-year-old girl from the Hill District in Pittsburgh anymore, you know, like that something has changed here, and I have to just acknowledge there is an inflection point in what's happened in my life. And so that's the stuff that I didn't really think about, was like that people would actually take the time out to have strong opinions of me. And I think the other thing that hasn't gone the way that I imagined, and not because I didn't know it was possible, just because I didn't think about it, is I never considered what it would be like for other people to tell my story. Because up until this point in my life, I tell my story. And I have the ability to be the narrator in the story. And now other people are telling people who I am and having entire conversations about who I am and what I stand for and what it means based on perceptions, based on vibes, based on biases. And it's a really surreal experience to have people think they know your life who've never met you, you know, and to weave a whole narrative about why you do the things you do or who you are. And so it has given me a perspective and an empathy for the people who I have done that to. Right. That I'm like, oh, you know, I made assumptions or I assigned, you know, intention here. Or I thought I knew this about them. And it allows you to have a deeper level of questioning what you think you know. Yeah.
I can only imagine just the type of individual that I am, how running for an office or running against somebody can be probably different than, how do I put it, like how I would go about things. Because it feels like a lot of running for office, running against somebody is, or a lot of people make it, let me tell you why this person isn't good enough. The person I'm running against isn't good enough. I'm the type of person who, like, let me tell you why I'm the right person.
Yep.
I'm not really worried about them. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do and why I'm the right person. And I could just imagine you getting in that and all of a sudden, like, that's part of the game. Like, people are going to they're going to spend just as much, if not more time trying to take you down as opposed to talking about why they should be the ones. And that's just, I think that's whack, but I know that's also part of the game.
It is, but it also doesn't have to be. And so we tried, you know, there was a constant conversation in my campaign about how we show up. And I think one of the beautiful things about running for office for the first time in your 40s is that you know who you are, your roots run deep, and you also, you know, have had a chance to really think about how you want to show up in the world. And so for me, as I was deciding to run last March, the first thing I sat down and wrote out were my values. And I said, who do I want to be and what do I want this campaign to embody? And that was really important to me. And I've gone back to that document because I've always believed that it's much easier to draw your values in peacetime than it is in wartime, right? In wartime, you're like, grab anything you can. We're in a fight, right? But in peacetime is where you get to say, who do I want to be in the hard times? And so for me, I wanted to be a person who talked about my vision. I didn't want to hit below the belt on any of my opponents. I wanted to draw contrasts and say, here's what I have to offer. But I didn't want it to be mean-spirited or deceitful. I wanted it to be honest. And I wanted to take the limited life minutes that I had and talk about my vision for Sacramento and what we can do together and not using them to badmouth someone else. And so I really tried my best during this campaign to do exactly that, to encourage the people who are supporting me and who are part of my team to do exactly that as well. And that has become incredibly difficult in the last month. Because as you know, because I've had to toe the line between saying this person is lying and drawing additional judgments about their character because they've lied, right? Or just wanting to say, well, what about, you know, all of these things, you know, like, and I was like, that's not how I want to use my time. I want people to choose me, not to resign themselves to me, right? I want that to be an active, you know, consensual choice of like, I know about this person. I don't agree with everything that she says, but I trust her and I'd like to partner with her and I like the vision that she's bringing. And so it's tough though, because we're humans. And sometimes you want to just like, be like, hold my ear. Like, that's right. Right? And then you're like, but that's not who I want to show up as in the world.
Well, and you particularly can't do that.
Yes.
You and I, we had dinner with some friends a while ago.
Yeah.
And that was before the presidential election dramatically changed.
Yes.
You were already running all over the place then. How much in those last handful of months have things changed for you?
A lot. For one, you know, I'm doing this every day. So, and I'm surrounded by people who, you know, on my team and my volunteers who are all in and who are paying attention to things. And so it's still remarkable to people who are like, yeah, I learned about you 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, we've tried to be everywhere, right? And I'm like, how did you learn about me 3 weeks ago? You know, but that happens. And so, yeah, we were doing all of these things to lay the groundwork and get the, you know, the initial folks involved. And then all of them are activated to be able to get the folks who start thinking about the election when their ballots come in the mail, right? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people will say that's when the election starts, or, you know, Labor Day is when the election starts. And I'm like, I started running on April 19th mm-hmm. of 2023. What do you mean the election starts now, right? But presidential elections in November have a much higher turnout. There are people who didn't participate in the primary, didn't remember that March 5th was an election day, and are now like, okay, wait, what's going on here, right? Mm-hmm. And so it has been interesting to like, when you feel like you're sort of towards the end and you're counting down like 30 days left, and all of a sudden like all of the attention and energy and excitement, and everybody's reaching out to you like, can you come do this? Can you come mm-hmm. do that? And I'm like, we've been doing this for 18 months and you show up in month like 18 going, hey, can you come meet my cousin? And I'm like, yes, we can. But also some of these things we're not going to be able to do because there's only 24 hours in a day and I need 8 of them to sleep.
Yeah. And that's like, it's just like, I can't imagine what life has been like for you, especially because we were talking about before you got here, I don't know that they thought you were going to be here.
Mm-mm, no.
Like when we talked the very first time leading into that first election, I don't know that they expected you to be here.
Not at all. People were shocked.
Right.
At the margin that we won by, right? So we went into this election. Nobody bothered to, you know, to do independent expenditures against me. They were like, it's cute. Mm-hmm. Poor little Tink Tink is in the corner and she's going to run her little campaign and she's going to come in fourth place. And then the big boys will carry it from here, right? Yeah. And I think there's an element of that was, I've never run for office before. There was an element of that was ageism. I was the youngest person in the campaign. There's an element of that was racism, right? Mm-hmm. There's an element of that was institutionalism, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the state senator and the former, you know, city council member and the current assembly member are the adults in the room, right? And so that's who we should pay attention to. And we just quietly did what we did and reached out and got to know people. And so then here come the election results and we beat everybody else out by almost 9,000 votes and win 57% of the precincts. And everybody was like, what just happened? Right. How is it that, you know, there are these two people who are going to a runoff that one of whom we didn't even think had a shot to be in it. And for weeks it was, who's going to be running against Flo? Because we were solidly in first place and they were battling it out for a couple hundred votes here and there with every update. Right. Yeah. Like, so that was an interesting place to be. And a lot of it has to do with, we did what we know works. We knocked on doors. Mm-hmm. We had conversations. We showed up in spaces. We have in this campaign had 97 house parties.
Mm.
That doesn't include the coming to Sac State and talking to a class. Mm-hmm. That doesn't include endorsement interviews. Mm-hmm. That doesn't include sitting down with business groups and, you know, and going to, you know, different events and tabling at hundreds of events. Like, mm-hmm. we tallied just between June and now, I think we tabled at 130 events, right? Like, that, it doesn't even include all of those in the 97 house parties where 30 or 40 people would get in somebody's backyard or living room or whatever, and we would talk about what we wanted, and they'd ask questions, and people would contribute dollars to the campaign, and then a couple of them would say, hey, I want to do this with my group of friends. Here's the next one, right? And so
our guy, Io, is notorious for house parties.
Yes. Io threw one for me. You know, I mean, this was a thing that became personal. It's not, oh, you're someone over there. It was like, you live in my community. I see you at the coffee shop. I see you walking down my street. I see you on the 51 bus. Like, I see you in my community. Yeah. And that was important.
Yeah, it's confirmation. And one of the things that I believe in, and it's a little smaller scale, but when we started this radio show and, you know, people talking about, you know, the ratings and all this other stuff, I said, as long as we got the people, we'll be all right.
That's right.
I still believe that if you get to the people, they'll appreciate that.
That's why I'm here.
That's what I'm saying.
You said, do I have anything else to do on election day? I was like, we were at Sac State earlier today. Now I'm here. We go back to Sac State. I'm going to swing by Sac City College. Like, we want to be where the people who often feel forgotten mm-hmm. are, right? Mm-hmm. And young people, by number, have the numbers to be able to decide elections.
Yeah.
But often it's older people who show up more. And so we're there today reminding them that you have a voice, that there's a candidate who thinks Election Day the best place to be is with you. Mm-hmm. And we've been on that campus multiple times a week for both campuses on multiple times a week for months now, mm-hmm. right? Making mm-hmm. sure that we're getting people registered to vote, making sure that we're letting them know about asking for their endorsements, right? Yeah. We went to the college Dems and said, will you endorse us, right? Like, your voice matters. I'd love to have your logo on my website as one of my 45 endorsing organizations. Mm-hmm. Like, we're reminding people that they matter and that they're not somebody to be cast aside. But when you reach out to our campaign via email or a direct message, we respond. And people are like, oh my gosh, you responded back to us. I'm like, I believe that is the job. unless someone can correct me and inform me otherwise, like, responding to people, especially at this stage, like, is the job, right? Yeah. Is to answer questions and allow people to feel confident in their vote.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We get to Sac State. Tell Dr. Wood stop playing around and get in here with us.
He hasn't been on the show yet?
He has not been on the show yet. And you know what I heard?
What's that?
I wasn't going to say nothing. The wake-up call got a hold of him. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, but look, I'm going to stall him out.
Well, that means our friends down the hallway who do a morning show on uh-huh. our pop station,
they got him
on the phone. Yeah.
Okay, but I don't understand. Is it?
Well, we've been trying for 2 months to get Dr. Wood to hang out with us.
Well, look, hold on. I'm going to stall him out just a little bit.
I'm not.
Give him a little bit more time.
Yeah, that dude took my seat at Dr. Taylor's retirement dinner.
He shouldn't have been in a seat, but.
No, he took my seat.
You got to get up. Dr. Wood's in the house. You know what I mean?
So.
You got to get up. But when we saw him at the football game,
yep.
I talked to him. I told him, hey, man, come on. He said, no, we definitely going to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's on his radar.
Nah,
now, he's got to get in here,
mm-hmm.
but it's on his radar. I'm going to take him at his word. He's a busy man right now. He's trying to get football
gonna
here.
You're going to tell the next mayor of Sacramento, hey, time is money, Dr. Wood. Get over there with D'Lo and Casey.
Listen, I will make a commitment that I'm going to reach out to him today and say that. And also, I would just say maybe try to get him and his wife on at the same time because they are a really dynamic duo.
Mm-hmm.
The Doctors Wood, as I like to refer to them. And I think having a community conversation with both of them, especially because, they know this area and like it's like new folks, but also folks who've been here before. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really nice.
What's it like working with Dr. Wood and his wife over there at Sac State, like a man in that position, a black man in that position, and you guys working together?
Well, first of all, I just want to shout out to 1982 because 82 was a good year because Dr. Wood and I are the same age. And so I just got to shout out 1982.
83 was a little better, but it's all good.
I mean, listen,
it's all good.
Early 80s, all of us Zennials, okay? we're all gang, okay? That's for sure.
Let's not do that again.
I'm just saying that. Technically, that's what it is. What are you, a baby boomer?
No,
okay.
Stop it.
You, all right.
No, that's what
no,
it's
no you can see me. No, you can see me. No, no stop that. Laughing. Stop laughing.
That's
you
what
can
it's
see
called.
Me. No, it is not.
We were on the show.
No. Fix that. You ain't going to do that.
I'm telling you. No, look.
Gen X, and he's a young Gen X, and actually, you're part of the Zennials.
But
I know you and I are the same. Like, Zennials.
We all thought he was a millennial, though. We thought we all millennials. We was all good, and then we, looked it up, and we're not the same.
The micro generation of folks who were born in the mid-70s to mid-80s are Zennials. We are a micro generation because we are young enough to get and do the technology, right? But we also remember an analog time. Like, when I applied to college, I applied on paper, right? And there was no, I was able to get through undergrad without there being any social media. Like, so we're that cusper.
Well, what's crazy, it's like, y'all 82, millennials 80, like, I'm in the civil rights era.
No, it's unfair too. It's unfair. How does 65 to 80 work? It actually works.
Like me and Dr. King at the March on Washington. Like, what the hell is
this?
All
right, now wait a second.
No, that's not fair. I know.
Now listen.
That's not fair to my guy.
Dr. King was part of the.
I would have been arrested back then. My parents would have been hung.
The silent generation is Dr. King, right? Because he's born in 1929. So he's Silent Generation.
Yeah.
Y'all were...
Well, I'm talking about like where he made it. Yeah. Packed. Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's... What is it? 1964 it, to
No, I think it's 60 to 81.
Oh, 60 to 81. Okay.
Well, That's insane.
I thought it was 15 years.
You're right. It's 15 years.
So 65 to 80 doesn't seem like that long, but it
that's
is.
Insane.
I mean, it doesn't seem like a short time, but it is.
Insane.
It always feels weird, though, when you're at the end, because like for us, I mean, some of the
I don't like... See?
I mean, it is what it is. If we're being factual about it, that's what it is.
Some of the younger millennials refer to us as geriatric millennials, and I hate it.
Come on.
First of all, I have great knees because I take glucosamine, can join an MSM, and I can drop it like anybody, okay? So don't you dare come for me, kids, because y'all will tap out before I do. But so I refer to myself as an elder millennial, but it is true, right? The adults born in 1996 had a very different experience than we had, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think the Zennials is a little more apt, because even though you're technically in the generation before us, we're all in that same period where we have the same cultural references, we listen to the same music, doing the same thing,
man.
Right? And in real life, when people are talking about this, they're like people in their 40s, right? They're not they're not thinking about us in the same boat as somebody who's in their late 20s, even though they're technically also millennials. So
D-Lo's an honorary oos.
Definitely not the civil rights generation, though. That is going to be rent-free in my head for the rest of my life. Oh, my goodness.
Our minds were blown when we spent the whole segment breaking this down, and we were like, really?
Kennedy assassination.
What?
Man, out there next to Abraham Zapruder. you think there's a big turnout tonight? Oh, y'all could just talk. It don't matter. You guys leaving?
Yes. Okay.
No, that's fine. Don't mind us.
The Sac Observer, Sacramento's black newspaper, is following me around for the day.
Larry
they
Lee.
Also endorsed me. Shout out to one of my endorsers.
Yeah.
So they followed me around because it's election day. So they were with me at Sac State. Wanted to come and make sure we got some shine for the show.
I know
that Wilhelmina is going to do a great little production. Not little. A documentary of the election. And so I'm grateful that you all were able to come. And so we'll link up. Okay, sounds good.
Y'all gotta
shout out. Need to take the. I never turned it on, but okay.
So we'll see you at your next location.
Okay, all right. I'm probably going back to Sac State, and then I'm probably going to hit Sac City too.
We'll probably do Sac City.
Okay, sounds good.
Shout out to my man Larry Lee. Big ups to him.
Yes, Larry.
Yeah.
You said something interesting there. It's a question. Well, America's asking. Do you think you'll know if you win tonight?
I don't think so. I mean, so
do we know when this happened?
Yeah, like, don't understand.
We used to get election
results. In Damien's age, that's what.
Yes.
No, it's okay.
No,
I'm
it's
done.
Cool.
No, I'm
when Dr. Flo leaves. No, it's good.
No, I'm done.
The this second she
the
leaves.
Fight club.
Yeah.
As soon as it.
But no, seriously.
Fight club.
Like it feels like 40, 50 years ago. They knew that night, and now we gotta wait 2 weeks.
Yeah. So. The thing that has changed is that, especially in California, is that we have made it easier for people to participate in the election. And in so doing, it means that election day really is just the end of voting. It's not when we're expecting to have results tallied. So by law, we have to have the results within 29 days of the election. And what happens is people like me, traditionally, who get their ballot in the mail, but election day is my favorite holiday. Yes, I am. Hello, my name is Flo, and I am a black nerd. And so election day is my favorite holiday in the year. I get so excited about it. I can hardly sleep the night before. And this is long before I was a candidate.
Okay, this
I just
feels
loved
excessive.
It, okay? And so I will hold on to my ballot, and then I want to go in and actually, vote in person. You know, I want to have that experience.
Yeah.
And so what that means, though, is that even if you're getting your ballot at home, most people turn their ballots in yesterday or today.
Mm-hmm.
And so so it means then, because it's it's still voting by mail, technically, even if you drop it off at a vote center. So they have to first check the signatures, make sure you signed and dated it. Mm-hmm. And then they open it up and they have to process the ballots. And so people are showing up until we were out there, you know, at the polling places until 8 o'clock in March. People were driving in at 7:56 to drop those ballots off. And the line, especially at Bell Coolidge, was like, you know, people were cycling in. So all those ballots come in same day, and it's going to take a little while for them to tally them. And that's the majority of the ballots.
Mm.
So that first drop of numbers that we get at 8 p.m. Are usually people who voted and had their votes processed up until probably yesterday. And then you're going to get the people who voted same day at the polling place. Maybe they had to use the accessibility, like the monitors and stuff, so their votes were tallied. And so those ones come in. It's going to take a while for the rest of those ballots to get processed. And if your signature doesn't match, then those ballots get set aside. But there's still an opportunity for us to reconcile that so your vote counts. And then we made it really easy for people to register and vote up until 8 o'clock today. So like, that's one of my messages to anybody listening is if you're like, oh, I'd like to participate, but the voter registration deadline, wasn't that October 21st? That was the vote by mail deadline. So
you and they have people that help you, because I was at I was at a voting center this morning, and they'll, are you registered or do you need help registering? Are you registered? They'll walk up and down the line asking if you need help registering.
Yes. So that means that all of those folks, the first thing we have to do, your ballot still counts, but before we can count your ballot, we have to make sure you're eligible. So they have to go in and like process your voter registration first and then process your ballot. So those are the kinds of things that take time. So we should all be grateful that it's taking time, because it means that more people get an opportunity to vote. If the voter registration deadline was September 1st, think about all the people who've registered to vote between September 1st and today who wouldn't have been able to participate.
Right.
And that's one of the beauties. Like, we're on the college campuses because I'm running into people every day who are like, oh, yeah, I am registered, but I'm registered in L.A. because that's where I'm from. And I'm like, well, you can re-register where you live in college because you're a resident here and you can vote today. And they're like, oh, OK, where? And I'm like, MODOC Hall, go over there, right? Like, it's right by Campus Commons. So we're actually getting people who were like, oh yeah, I didn't register, or oh, I'm a new citizen and I didn't know what my options were. Like, so we're getting people to be able to register and vote, and it gives you more time. So that's what takes so long.
I don't mean to say this like I'm the big homie or anything, but I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of what you've been able to accomplish, what you've achieved already. I believe you're going to win. That's just my thought. But even if you don't, you've already won. You've inspired so many people. You've opened so many people's
eyes. Dr. Flo's like, no, I didn't.
You've opened up so many people's eyes to what the city could be, what their voice could be in this city. And I'm just so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. And I think it's going to go from Dr. Flo to Mayor Flo.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I, you know, I know it's cliche to say, no matter what happens, you're always a winner. But I really do feel like we, even the primary election results, right? We were able to show people that there is power in this city. Mm-hmm. There are people who want something, who want to work together. There's energy and excitement. And that's not... You know, I said to somebody, there was an article that came out in the SACB, and it was showing that my opponent had like raised twice as much money as I had. And, you know, so my volunteers were like, okay, did we see this? What are we going to do? And I was like, yes, of course, we're going to keep raising money. We're going to keep doing what we need to do. But the truth is, and this has always been the truth, money doesn't win elections. Money is a tool. And that's actually one of the values I wrote down when I first, before I started this campaign. I said, money is a tool. And I was like, transformation is the goal. Never make a mistake, a tool for the goal. Because if you do, then you start chasing the money instead of chasing the transformation. And so I said to my team, I was like, listen, I know it can feel a little demoralizing to realize that you have $2-to-1, and that doesn't include the independent expenditures. But what they don't have is 2-to-1 people. What they don't have is the energy that our campaign has been able to inspire. What they don't have is the doors that are knocked and the phone calls that were made and the house parties that we've had. And I'm like, money doesn't win elections, people do. And I was like, and we have people. So we can do this, right? And we need to start judging ourselves by an expanded set of metrics. Because if we only judge how well an election is going by how much money someone has, you have to have enough money. I mean, if you looked up and I had $2 and it was 2 days before, you'd be like, all right, it's been fun. Good job, girl. I'm glad you were here. But like, you have to have some of the tools, right? But you also, you know, need to think about all of those other metrics. And so I judge us by how many people have we reached? How many conversations are people having? What's the energy? What's the brand? What's the excitement that we're feeling? You can feel it, right? It's the same with sports. Like when you walk into Golden One Arena and you're there with tens of thousands of people, you can feel it. And it's the same thing that so many of us are feeling in Sacramento right now, which is this like, we're working together. We're doing this. I mean, I've literally watched people high five each other on the street, not knowing I was there because I was on the side. And they're like, Dr. Flo, yay! Like, it's not, I mean, it's not just me. It's about us, right? We put on the back of our shirts that we are running for mayor because we wanted people to recognize that that's how government should feel. It should be joyous. It should be connecting. It should be, I mean, there's a book club that started because of this campaign. There are people who are now friends, who are hanging out with each other. Like, it's those community connections that really matter. And that's how I judge our success. So, yes, we want to win this election. Yeah. Yes, if you haven't voted and you were thinking about it, I would love to have your vote. But even bigger than that, we have won a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about my Spelman sister, Stacey Abrams, and she didn't win, you know, her election for governor. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, who are the history books going to write about, right? Mm-hmm, and what happened in Georgia? Mm-hmm. And Raphael Warnock doesn't happen if it's not for Stacey Abrams, right? And all the groundwork she did. And so,
and the WNBA.
Right. Yes. So I don't know what my role in history is. I feel very similar to you. I am cautiously optimistic. But I really do. I've made peace with whatever the outcome of the election is, that we've done something that can't be ignored here. Mm-hmm. And that means a lot.
Now, let's start writing your history tonight, man. That's Come on, man. The next mayor of Sacramento.
Come on now, Mayor Flo.
872 people watching the next mayor of Sacramento right now.
Yeah.
Good luck the rest of the day. We love you. You know, we are huge fans of yours. And we're expecting some mayoral perks. I'm gonna be honest with you. You're gonna have to pull back from the mayor.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm definitely coming for dinner.
Oh, go.
This time you gotta at least let me bring some sparkling wine or something. Like
If you feel the need, you can.
Flow wine?
Oh yeah, let's do that. You say the word when you want to come back. You know I'll cook for you in a heartbeat.
There's also some tequila that's El Mayor tequila, and I always joke I'm like El Mayor, right? That's not actually what Mayor means in Spanish, but I keep saying I'm.
Is it good or is it a cute name?
No, it's actually pretty good.
Okay.
And I keep saying I'm going to reach out to them and ask them to do a special edition La Mayor tequila.
Oh, let's do that. Yeah, let's do that. Because tequila's my bag. We can go. We can go. Dr. Flo, if you haven't cast your ballot yet, go do it. And we'll come back. We'll get caught up, probably. Stephen with KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.